This episode is brought to you by BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know it works. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code TMS. Just pay $5 shipping. Coming up on TMS, I need some sleep advice.
The floor is heavy, man.
Plastic poop is everywhere.
Be on the lookout for Ross.
It's the Ross you're thinking of, by the way.
It is the Ross. It is. Yeah. I saw this article this morning.
You think you guys out there think we're kidding? Nope. Just be looking out for Ross. Toilets go boom.
I come from the future and I have proof.
Tom's Tech Time, recommendals, and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Huge plot hole in reality. Every person carries around a device with access to the totality of human knowledge, and yet people are constantly wrong about everything.
What ain't getting any safer?
This is The Morning Stream, where you get to be the man.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. My throat hitched right as I was saying things. Excuse me. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for October 24th, 2018. It is a little late. It's about 9:12 in the morning. We usually start about 12 minutes ago, but we had some technical issues that had nothing to do with today's special guest host, Mr. Brian Dunaway. Hello.
Oh, hi, Scott.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So this is going to kind of be like a longer version of Battle Royale, except there's no Brian Ibbett.
Nope. There's no prizes. There's no contest. There's no
contestant. Oh, there's prizes.
Oh, is there?
You're gonna get prizes.
You hadn't told me before this. Okay. If there are prizes, I'm in. Now, I also have some good news. We missed the show yesterday for various reasons. One, Ibbett was gone, but instead of getting a co-host, I forgot I had a DR appointment, so I did that. And now I'm here with you. And
a DR appointment. Now, did you just elongate doctor to DR by abbreviating it? Is that what you're saying?
I'm one of the cool kids, Brian. I have to shorten stuff. Don't you do that?
That's not shortening at all.
It made it longer, didn't it? It's actually longer now.
At least as long.
Yeah, but it was fine. It was just a little nothing checkup, everybody. Nobody has to worry about nothing. It was nothing. But I'm very happy that you're here, Brian Dunaway from South Carolina, the winner of the great Powerball $1.3 billion drawing that happened today, the lottery. Congratulations, Brian.
Absolutely. Do you think I would even be here right now if I won the freaking lottery?
If you know what I think you would do? Here's what I think Brian would do.
I would disappear.
No.
You wouldn't even see me anymore.
I disagree. Here's what you would do. I don't think you're not that kind of millionaire. Here's what you would do. You would take a chunk of that money and you would throw it at all of your Frog Pants friends so that none of them had to worry about where the next dime was coming from ever again, and they could just make content. And then you'd disappear and go do your island or whatever you're going to do. That's what you do.
You would get a letter from the island because I would think about you eventually.
Okay.
After I get a couple of margaritas in me on the beach.
Yeah. I know how you get.
Maybe some rum. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. No, I thought about it. I was like, man, I just cut out. Mm. I would just cut out. But then I would get bored and I had to come back. Because
life.
The drama.
Yeah, life and drama.
Life is fun. Life is exciting. And speaking of exciting, this morning I had no clue about the results of the lottery. Yeah. I've been following along. I don't play it myself, but my dad plays it a lot. It's about all he talks about.
Yeah.
And so I'm at work this morning and I'm walking around and somebody said, yeah, did you see this is like third party information. Somebody in South Carolina won. And I was like, oh, heart started pumping a little bit. I'm like, this may be the day. Mm-hmm. This may be the day my dad wins.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can just leave. I don't have to stay here at all.
Sure.
And then it was like, yeah, I heard it. I heard the ticket was sold in Lawrence. Holy crap. My dad lives in Lawrence. He lives in Lawrence.
Where's Lawrence?
This is it.
Is that near you?
It's very close. It's like 30 minutes away.
All right. So it was narrowed down even further.
Yeah. Oh, my God. My heart was pumping then. So I like popped my phone. It's like, Dad, it's ringing. He's not answering. Yeah. Mother, he's left the country.
He's already gone.
He's not going to give me anything.
Yeah.
And right. So I called his second number. And he did answer, and we had a little laugh, but it was definitely not him that won. But he did buy a ticket. He got a couple of numbers right.
Yeah.
But it's the dream. We're still waiting on it.
Yeah.
Still waiting.
Well, don't. It's the future. You know, the future still could come. But I'm just saying, there's some hayseed down there, because I assume they all are, because I have a bad stereotype about the South. Somebody down there won $1.3 or $4 billion on this thing. It's like the largest pot ever. And
right.
I wonder how they're feeling today. I guess we don't know who won yet.
Luckily, we live in South Carolina, and it is a state that does not require you to reveal your identity if you win. Thank goodness. Because if I was ever play, I would definitely have to be in a situation where I don't have to reveal.
Oh, right. Good point. By the way, we've got a correction from the Amish Overlord in the chat room. $1.6 billion.
Right. And, of course, there's taxes involved. My dad ran down the whole thing. He's like, well, let's see here. I would have won this, and state taxes are 3%, and then the federal tax is 23%. And he was doing all the calculations. If you take the one-time payout, and he's thought about this.
Oh, I bet he has.
He's thought about it.
Yeah. But I'm guessing, though, so a lot of people like the piecemeal over time thing. If it were me, though, I think I'd do the one-time payout and pay all the taxes all at once, because at $1.6 billion, you're still going to walk away with, even if they take $0.6 billion away, you still walk away with $900 million, right?
Right.
Like, who cares at that point?
Just I would take half, and the reason why is because I don't trust the state to always deliver on the lottery. There could be some kind of hiccup that happens eventually that could create a situation where I was not able to get my monthly payment. If I take it now, I take control, and then I can invest the money in the way I want to. That, to me, seems like a less risky proposition in my mind, but I'm sure it makes more sense to gamble on the government coming through.
So if it's like half, it'd be roughly $600,000, maybe, or $600 million, rather.
Yeah, $600 million, something
like
that.
Take the hit. It's fine. Take the hit. Just take the hit and have it now. You control it. It's your money. And Uncle Sam and local state taxes takes their chunk, and then you walk away. Do that.
That's right.
And then you go to the island Brian's so fond of talking about. Anyway.
Like I said, I always talk about going to an island, but really, if I went to an island, I would be like, I would so enjoy myself for a little time, have a little sabbatical. But I would definitely want to come back to the real world.
Yeah, you don't want to
deal with all the all the handout people.
Oh, it's no. That's the thing. You want to just stay away. You're going to learn real quick who your real friends are, and the ones that don't seem to care about your money, you want to stay close to them, and the ones that suddenly are scooching up to you all the time, going, "Hey, what's going on? I haven't seen you in years." Do not get fooled, man. Or you'll end up like who did Don't Touch This.
MC Hammer.
You end up like MC Hammer. He had all the friends in the world, and they came and spent all his money, and then he had nothing.
Right. Yeah, those parachute pants look great, man.
Yeah.
Way to go, Hammer. Hit him, Hammer.
That's how you know if they compliment your stupid pants. You know that they're full of it.
And that's how you know. Yeah, that crab dancer doing.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Keep that up.
Right.
But people talk about this all the time about what you do if you win the lottery. But to me, the most disappointing part of the lottery, when you really step back and look at it, it becomes not freedom, but it becomes money management.
Yeah.
So you can hire somebody to manage your money, but can you really truly trust them?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Here's what I would do. I really honestly believe this is what I would do, because I don't want rich person problems. They're emotionally soul destroying.
I got my own problems.
Yeah, I got my own problems. That's a soul destroying lifestyle. I don't want anything to do with that side of it. But I would like the idea of money's no longer a factor. Now I can create and do whatever I want to do. Like, that's very interesting to me.
And see, and that's the thing. You don't need $600 million to do that.
No.
If I had enough to pay off my debts and then have a little bit to live on while I transition into an independent person, that would be ideal.
Yeah.
And would maintain the personality of what I am now and would keep me on target for my goals.
Right. And I would just put $600 million in the bank, and I would let it generate interest, and I would live off that interest, and I would keep that money in there for investments I think were smart or companies I wanted to start. But it would be there, and I would just live off the interest. I'd pay off any debt I have. I don't even think I'd move. I might move it like a little. I'm not going to go into debt.
Because you'd have to move because there would be people at your door every single day.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Every single day.
Yeah, freaking F money, dude. F money. Money's weird.
Right. F money.
Plus, it's not even anything. You know, we all think it's something.
Now, we say F money. Don't get upset out there and go, well, I could solve all my problems with money. Yes, some money would solve 99% of your problems.
Right.
Some.
I give a lot to charity, I think, because I'd feel guilty if I didn't. Because you can't have that much money and sit there and have a fat grin on your face while other people don't have the opportunity or the, you know, they didn't get lucky like you did. I just feel...
Right.
And I don't mean just some, you know, jackhole accountant who's like, damn it, my numbers didn't come through again. I don't mean that guy. I mean, like, you know.
I'll tell you who's a better rich person than ethical businessman.
Who?
Bill Gates.
Oh, Bill Gates is great. Yeah.
He's great philanthropist.
Yeah. Maybe the best there's ever been philanthropy-wise.
Right.
I can't think of anybody who's done more good and is continually doing more good than Bill Gates and his wife right now.
He must have killed somebody to be doing that nice.
I don't know. I mean, all of his buddies that he co-founded with and worked early on with that are all loaded too. Like,
right.
Who's developers? Who's that?
Developers.
Steve Ballmer.
Ballmer.
He may give stuff to charity, but he's mostly in the news for owning the Clippers and. Right. Being loud and weird, right? And then the one that just died, I can't think of his name all of a sudden. Anyway,
he's always in the background, though.
He had a very, his was a little bit more localized. He did a lot for this, for the city of Seattle and Washington State at large. And so you can look at that as some good accomplishments. But I mean, Bill Gates is out there every day in the world making it so people don't have malaria and they can pee in a real toilet and about 100 other things I can't think of. He's great. Love that guy. Paul Allen is the other guy.
Paul Allen, that's right.
He's the one that just passed away. He owned Tech TV.
Loved it.
Back in the day.
Oh, did he own Tech TV back in the day?
Did you know that? He was Tom Merritt's boss, Leo Laporte's boss, or whoever else worked at Tech TV back then.
Huh.
Roger Chang, all those guys worked for him.
Yeah.
Which apparently was a little tricky because at the time he was like, yeah, I'll do this. And then he did it. And then after a while he was like, I don't know if I want to do this. Like, that's how rich people can think because they got so much money. Who cares? And so, you know, hundreds of people are like, do I have a job? Okay, I have a job. Oh, do I have a job? You know.
Media that has changed my life. Sunday Morning Comics, Omni Magazine during the 80s, and Tech TV. Those are three major mediums that just seem to shift my mind and just my attitude.
Yeah, it was great. Tech TV was awesome when it started. I think Ninja Steve in the chat room is being a little... what's the word?
Facetious? Sarcastic? What's he doing?
I don't know what the word is, but he says Gates literally had to get involved in philanthropy because everyone thought he was a dick. I think that's a little narrow view of things, dude. Just a little bit narrow.
Yeah. You can still be a dick and just not care. I mean, when you got that much money, you can be a dick. And
I don't think Bill Gates
was
ever a dick. I think Bill Gates was just kind of one of those nerds that was hard to figure out and made people think that he didn't really... You know,
he was a good businessman. Come on. He didn't mind doing it.
He was a guy that would come out He's a guy that would come out on stage, to talk to Letterman or somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And when he'd say, thanks, Bill Gates and whatever. And everybody has been told before they get out there, when everyone claps and the music plays out for commercial, you just stay here and chat with me for a minute. And then you go, he would just get up and run out. Like he'd just take off because he doesn't know. He doesn't have the social stuff. He's socially weird. So because of all that stuff, it's easy to go, what a dick. And maybe even if he made a bunch of business decisions that seemed dickish, welcome to the cutthroat world of Silicon Valley in the 70s and 80s. I mean, that's the world we live in. Guess who else was a dick who I admire a great deal? Steve Jobs. Huge dick.
Now, see, that's the difference between, I think, Gates and Jobs. I think Bill Gates was a dick because... He just didn't understand he was a dick. Mm-hmm. Whereas I believe Steve Jobs just didn't care. He knew it. I just don't think
But
he
this
cared.
Idea that you'd go out and spend millions, possibly billions of your own dollars because people didn't like you, that is the most narrow view of this I've ever heard of. That's super narrow.
Oh, by the way, I'm sitting here calling these two titans of tech dicks like I've ever met them. All I can tell you is their public persona.
Yeah.
appeared that way. So
yeah, we don't know. We don't know these guys.
They could have been wonderful people, totally misunderstood there in their time, which is what I hope.
We don't know them personally, so we can't really make that call. I prefer to judge and label people I haven't met in my own way.
Right.
Which is the rest of the time. Anyway, maybe he was a dick. I don't know. Whatever. We'll take his money, having the world change in a better way.
Heck yeah, man. Bring it on, Bill Gates Foundation.
If you haven't ever seen the Gates Foundation,
you should read about it.
Well, here's the deal. If the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation can help me, that'd be great. Here's what they need to invest in next. I need some sleep advice. Okay?
Wow.
I don't know why this is true, but ever since my trip to, very specifically my trip to Ohio, I get home, and that very first night and all the way up till today, so it's been almost a month, every single night, without fail, I wake up at like 3 o'clock in the morning with my brain on crack. Just wake up and 1,000 thoughts happening at once. And all tangible stuff, I you know, like a TV show I saw yesterday is playing in my head. A thing I have to get drawn up and done for work thing. Some podcast thing over here on this side. Something I read on Twitter on this side, like, everything happening at once, all like voices in my head at 3 o'clock in the morning going blah, 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 blah. I can't sleep like that. It's a really stressful feeling. I hate that feeling. And then when it finally goes away, I nod back off and everything's okay. But I feel like that affects me in the day because I had this like poopy night, right? I can't figure out why my brain won't knock it off. It's like full load at night. And it's only since I got home from that trip, which makes no sense to me at all. Except it just maybe it's just pure happenstance.
I think it would definitely have to be environmental then, right? Did you drink the water when you were in Ohio?
Yeah, they had water we drank.
You fool! You drank the water from the spigot.
Never drink from the spigot or the hose, they always say.
You're right from the hose. Yeah, I drink right from the hose, baby. Hose water.
Hose water.
So disgusting. But yeah, that's interesting. That's a good question. I mean, it's not like it's one time zone over, right? Or is it two?
It's 2 hours over, right. But I don't think it's a time zone thing. Like, that wouldn't make any sense just because I've had plenty of time zone changes. It's just like the switch went off in my head and it said, all right, hey, at 3 a.m. we're just going to go ahead and vent everything. It's like a garbage disposal opens up and goes blah and horks out the day's waste material, but it's all mental stuff. Otherwise, I'm the rest of the night, the rest of the day, the rest of the evening, night, again, all that, all in between this time. No problems. Everything's great. Let's do this. Kim's like, well, maybe because we got BlizzCon coming. It's always a little stressful. I'm like, I don't know. I don't even feel nervous about BlizzCon this year. Like, I'm just sort of like, man, BlizzCon, let's do it. Let's go. I can't wait. It'll be fun. And like, I'm not.
Seriously, I joked about environmental factors, but there's a much greater impact outside of the time travel. Shifting your patterns of sleep. There's also environmental factors, and very much so. When you came back home, was about the time the weather started changing. Mm. And I got news for you, Scott. Getting older.
Yeah. No, I get that too.
The weather.
You get the weather.
It'll mess with you, and it'll make you stay up at night. It'll make you wake up, make your mind race, make your heart palpitate when you're trying to lay down.
Yeah.
All those.
You ever get the Jimmy legs in bed? Where you get the Jimmy legs?
I don't get Jimmy legs. I will occasionally claim I have them.
Yeah.
When I kick the dog off the bed. Oh, sorry about that. Jimmy legs.
Yeah, Jimmy legs. That's what.
Sorry about that.
Kick Kim right in the gut. Oh, sorry, Jimmy legs.
Did you really? Do you have Jimmy legs? See, you've got big, scary horse legs. I don't like that. That scares me.
Yeah, I get the Jimmy legs once in a while. Not very often, though. Usually if I watch my sort of sugar and like salt intake for the day. This is the most old guy thing to be talking about. But... here's what I wanted to get to here. Here's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to have a good day. I'm going to drink a lot of water. I'm going to hydrate. I'm going to get a couple of good half-hour exercise times in.
Do you know how much water you're supposed to drink every day?
More than I do, probably.
Right.
So what's that? How much is what's the recommended?
Eight. You're supposed to be drinking eight 8-ounce glasses of water a day. 64 ounces a day is your goal. You can also include other fluids that you take in, but for the most part, that's where you want to hit.
Yeah.
It helps you a lot. But some people I talk to, I'm like, are you drinking water? It's like, yeah, I drink water. I drank a whole glass today. No. A whole glass?
A whole glass of water.
Get out of here.
Okay. So it says 8 This is the 8-8 rule, which is, let's see.
And that's literally like a cup, like you measure out when you got like you're measuring your cup of sugar that you put in your coffee in the morning time. It's that size. That's right.
To put okay. A cup of sugar, nice job. Oh, really? Jeez.
Right. No, I'm kidding.
There's a study that says you lose weight when you drink enough water. Okay. Here's the point, though. I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to not eat close to bedtime. Sometimes I do that, I'll admit. I'm not going to, when it is time for bed, I'm not going to hop in bed and immediately take my phone out or start watching another movie or reading a book or anything. I'm just going to, when it's bedtime, I'm getting in the bed, I'm turning off that light, and I'm saying, that's it. That's why I'm in here. There's no other reason to be here. I am sleeping. I go out. And then tomorrow, when Kim's back on the show tomorrow, by the way, everybody, she's guesting with me tomorrow as well. It's very popular Monday, it turns out. I think people would prefer Kim on the show.
I loved it. It was great.
She would prefer her. They would prefer her on the show than me, I think, is what's going on there. Right. So her and Nibbit are going to take it to the next level. Anyway, the point is, what was my point? My point is, so I'm going to try that. And then tomorrow I'll report on it. And Kim will be here. So if I've kicked her in the night or whatever, she can, you know, comment as to my sleep ability. But it's just like this anxious 3 a.m. kind of, I'm stiff and kind of, let me rephrase that because that's going to come out wrong. I'm
stiff in the bed.
Hey,
how's it going? I'm Scott Judson.
I'm experiencing.
I say inappropriate things in inappropriate text.
Without meaning to, for the record. But my skin will be all like kind of on fire and like tingly, and I feel like I need to run somewhere, and all these voices in my head going, we're painting the baseboards tomorrow. So that's a thing, by the way, that we're doing. We have to paint the baseboards. We're getting ready to put some flooring in and replace some old carpet, and that stresses me out. So that's maybe part of it. But again, it's been happening since Ohio, so I don't get it. I don't get it.
What time do you turn your brain off at night, Scott, before you go to sleep? How many hours before you go to sleep do you turn your brain off?
I don't know if it ever turns off. I think I'd lay there.
Yeah, you got to turn. I rule of thumb for me, and I hope this gets as much traction as the water comment I made in the chat room, because, man, they're like, you don't have to drink that much water. You just, until you're not thirsty no more. But anyway.
But I don't know how to see. This is the problem, is I'm not very good at doing that. Like, I have a million things in my head all the time, and when it's time for bed, it's hard for me to just say, set it all aside, push it over there, take a nice deep breath, let it all just wash out. I can't do it.
So it's so important. Imagine yourself if you were out away from your protected home. And you are under a stressful situation. Your body can never relax because your body believes when it goes to sleep that it is still in a stressful situation. And of course, your body is going to wake you up in the middle of the night and go, you need to be on high alert, my friend.
Yeah.
You need to be on high alert.
Yeah.
So I tell you, man, a real book, like an hour before bed. Totally just say, forget it. I'm not thinking about anything. Our lives are so hectic. Yeah. Man, I'm telling you, it'll make a difference.
All right. What's the difference between a real book and a not real book? Like, what do you mean?
The problem with electronic devices is we train ourselves so much during the day to interact with electronic devices that we kind of have one level of interaction. And so I think when you switch it up to a book, it becomes, you feel disconnected to everything, which is what you want.
But if it's one of those, if it's one of those ebook Kindle things without the backlight, that's just like paper.
Right.
So I could do that.
Right. Just like paper.
Because I don't want to be... Listen, I'm trying to live not in the 1800s, everybody. I'm trying to live in the modern era.
I will turn all the lights off. I will light a candle and I read by candlelight because want to feel the peace of no electronic devices.
Do you wake up at 4 a.m. and take a half pint out with you to milk the cows, or what? What are you doing?
I do not. I don't want to live the life of the 1800s. I just want to enjoy the parts that we can now enjoy. We don't have to worry about, you know, the barn catching fire in the middle of the night and having to jump up. So, you know, I'm enjoying the good parts.
Okay. I'm going to do this tonight. I'm doing candle. I'm doing regular book. I'm doing, you know, half hour, 45 minutes before I'd hit the sack. I'm going to relax, focus on that and nothing else. and then I'm just going to go slip into bed. And that's
it.
This
is what I tell my kid. This is what I tell my kids all the time. There is nothing that you can accomplish after 9 p.m. You cannot. Everybody else is closed. You can't pay bills after 9. You can technically, but it's probably not going to change anything between 9 p.m. and, you know, whatever time you get up.
We always tell the kids that nothing, like when they were in school and stuff, we'd always say nothing good happens after 11.
Right.
And I still hold to that. Like, all the bad things in the world seem to happen like after 11 o'clock at night. I know that's
not true.
There's
a few exceptions. There's a few exceptions to that kind of rule where, you know, it's like, oh, yes, you can take care of a few things. But most stuff, after 9, waste your time.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Gagetsu in the chat room says if Utah legalizes weed this next week, but it's just a medical marijuana law thing they're voting on here. We're not voting on full recreational in Utah. I guarantee you, here's what's going to happen. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. The entire country will eventually get to a place where they're like, yeah, pot's stupid. Why are we? Let's just make it legal. And it'll be legal everywhere like it is in now Nevada, Colorado, California, and Washington. It'll just spread everywhere, okay? Except Utah will be the last state dangling on the end of that rope going, we're holding out to the bitter end. I guarantee it. Guarantee it. And I'm not even interested in it as a thing. I just think it's dumb that we're so freaking hung up on it. It drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Anyway, doesn't matter. Point is...
It doesn't matter. It does.
Point is, tonight I'm going to do this thing, and then I'll report tomorrow how it went, and I'll let you know. I'll text you and let you know how I did.
Django in the chat room says, is Brian, with a Y, a Civil War reenactor?
Hey, maybe. Let's find out. Hold on. My dearest Martha. You could totally do it.
I actually do. I live in a historic town, and I live just a few miles away from a fort that is shaped like a star. And every year, two or three times a year, we get invaded by the Civil War reenactors, and sometimes we do occasionally go down there. So yes, I am very steeped in that classic culture.
Yeah, you have some historic. I mean, there's plenty of historic things out your direction, like battlefields and stuff where things happen.
Battlefields. Cowpens.
Yeah, that was a thing that happened for sure.
Yeah.
Here's another thing that's happening, and there's nothing anyone can do about it. And it's called the news.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive, sensational summary of world and local events.
Oh, looky here, everybody. It's time for the news. And it's brought to you by It's the Dungeons and Diapers podcast featuring Ryan Murphy and the world's most charismatic Canadian, Crofton Steers. In your face, Beau Schwartz, he says. It's like some sort of inside joke for these Canadians. A show where new parents discuss how to balance their family fun, growing responsibility with their friends, hobbies, and creative ideas. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and visit tgistudios.com/dad to learn more. That's Dungeons and Diapers, short for dad, or dad is short for that. That's pretty good. Well done, guys. Dungeons and Diapers. I actually am giant fans of both Ryan and Crofton.
Yeah, I love all those guys.
Yeah,
including Beau Schwartz.
Yeah, Beau's all right. He's okay. He gets the job done. he's coming to BlizzCon with us in a week. I'm so excited to see him again. Yeah, it's always a good time when Beau's around because Beau is one of the nicest people I know. He's also one of the strangest people I know. He's an odd
guy. I always feel left out of the BlizzCon, and I always think maybe I should go, and I go. No, because I don't play any Blizzard games actively. I mean, I've played them, but I'm not like...
Still might like it.
Some of the Frog Pants people.
You still might like it. I don't think you have... Like, Kim goes every year, and she loves going. She doesn't play any of these games. Like, she's not interested in any of them, because it's just not her thing. But yeah, like, she... You know, you'd fit right in, because we have all these Frog Panty people to go. People would love to see you there. It'd be a huge deal.
I would love to go. Maybe next year. Let's start planning
now. All right, 2019... You heard it here first.
BlizzCon.
All right. This is breaking news. Your poop is probably full of plastic, according to Wired.com.
I knew it.
Did you?
Yeah. I felt it. I mean, I pooped a plastic bag last week.
I was going to say, I don't think the idea is that it's coming out in like fully formed plastic items. I don't think.
It was very convenient. I didn't have to go to the bathroom. I just... It's right in that bag.
The bag itself was the... Right. Yeah, I see how that went for you. Well, a dump truck full of plastic plops into the world's oceans every day. That's 8 million metric tons per year. Once waterborne, whatever doesn't wash ashore eventually breaks down into tiny, tiny itty bits. The puniest pieces, the ones smaller than 5 millimeters wide, are called microplastics. And their fates are numerous. Some glob onto Alaska-sized gyre of plastic debris swirling in the Pacific Ocean. Others sink to a variety of depths according to their densities. So if it's a super dense piece, it goes lower. You're my density. Exactly. Says here, still others get ingested by marine life, including fish and shellfish, which are in turn ingested by other animals like birds and humans.
Human.
I don't eat a lot of seafood, but if I did, this would freak me out completely.
I don't eat a lot of seafood. I eat a lot of fish, but most of them are like
it's like river, lake fish.
I'm cheap.
Yeah, you're cheap. I get it. You know what I like? A good tilapia fish. You ever have good tilapia?
Oh, yes, a good tilapia. I'm a salmon fan myself. Mm. I do like the salmon.
Yeah, do you go out and get your own like a bear? You go up there and catch them as they jump up?
I do. I get into the stream and I just bat them right out. Catch it, honey.
Fan-freaking-tastic.
We're having dinner.
That's a good sound effect.
That's what we do.
I like it. Well, anyway, it's kind of a mess, ecologically speaking, because that stuff just stays forever and, you know, it's not going anywhere. But the infiltration into food has worried a few people. It says here, the United European Gastronology meeting in Vienna. Now, that must be a treat.
I was about to say, I could just see a big giant banner. Welcome, gastroenterologists.
Yeah. Well done, everybody.
Right.
Nobody fart. Also, Vienna's great because it reminds me of Vienna sausages, and I guarantee there are plastics in that stuff.
That's weird because, you know, I always attach mine to songs, and mine's Falco's Vienna Calling.
Hold on a minute.
You're right.
Oh, yeah.
Vienna Calling.
Yeah. You know what my favorite city calling is the London Calling.
London. Oh, you're talking about bridges falling down?
No. Yeah. It's Perky. The one that goes London Calling. Oh, hold on.
Oh.
You know the one.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Well, I can't think of who does it.
But I always go Clash. Fergie
Clash
when I hear
it. That's a Clash song. Here, I'll play just a taste because I don't want to get in trouble by YouTube. Okay, here we go. Let's skip ahead. Wait.
Too much.
I could listen to that anytime, that song.
Too much. You've had a copyright strike.
Have I been flagged already? Damn it.
Right. You know what? What blows my mind about this article is the fact that it's only a dump truck. Now, don't get me wrong. People are going to get mad. Ryan, that's too much. But it's only a dump truck? I mean, all the plastic. I probably have seen a dump truck's worth of plastic at work every day. I find it hard to believe it's not more than that.
Well, you're pooping a lot of it is the problem. And so we don't know the full effects of this yet, which is the main thing.
Right.
It says that we're exposing ourselves in various ways, but they don't know. But they say that they believe, after all this testing, at this event in Vienna, they stood up on that microphone and said, all of you, you all have the plastic in the poop.
I like that they stood up on the microphone because it makes me think they're standing on it and yelling down at their feet. And that's a fun image at the gastrointestinal convention.
But you know that that's what it was. It was like, if you were all to take a poop in your chair right now, you would find the plastic. Anyway,
this is very scary to me because it makes me think that eventually our skin will be very plasticky and that it'll eventually kind of just work through our systems and we'll like assimilate it and we fine with it, but or either that'll kill us all. One of the two. That's probably one of the two conclusions.
Probably.
It'll kill you, or we'll be more, you know, our coats will be shinier and sheenier.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, I'm not going to just blame everything on or say everything causes cancer, but I feel like this is on a cellular level not good for other cells to like try to work their way around this artificial hoo-ha in your body. Doesn't seem good.
Right.
So don't eat plastic, everybody.
This is a bad thing. However, there is good news. Recently, also there's a device that is going out there to kind of scoop up some of this plastic. Certainly won't solve the problem, but maybe at least put a Band-Aid on it.
Maybe it will dissolve the problem.
Right. Yeah, there's some enterprising individuals who are pushing this and trying to clean up the world's mess, and yet we continue to get plastic and complain when McDonald's says they're going to give us paper straws, and I'm like, no,
I don't want paper straws. I need my plastic straw. Yeah. By the way, I went there yesterday morning. Right. Yeah, when I was out and about.
Did you get a straw?
No, but I got a for the first time in about 15 years or something, I got a what do you call it? A sausage egg McMuffin.
Oh my God!
Yeah, I don't know
no
why.
No, you can't sleep at night.
Well, it was only the one, and it was early in the morning, and it was actually pretty good, I have to admit. Although they've gotten way smaller. My wife got the one that's like, and we never go there hardly, but she got the one that's like a pancakes instead of. What is it? What's up with that? Pancakes for your bread?
Are you talking about the McGriddle?
Yeah, the McGriddle.
Oh my God, the McGriddle is so good. If you don't know what a McGriddle is, it's this.
Yeah.
It is a pancake with syrup in the pancake. Yeah. And then you put that over top of like sausage and egg. And if you're a real glutton, bacon. Yeah. And I've even seen people put cheese on it. But it is freaking delicious.
Really?
It will make you think you're going to die. But it is so good.
Okay.
So good.
She liked it.
Yeah. I can eat about two or three bites off that. Mm-hmm. And then I just want to die.
All right.
Just delicious while I'm eating it.
It's much smaller, though. It's a little tiny. Like, it must have a ton of calories packed in there because that thing's like that big.
Yes.
As well. It's just running.
Yes, it is very tiny. I think it's like 600 calories. And it's outrageous.
All right. Maybe I'll try it. They did cancel something we were trying to order. What was it? They said, oh, no, we got rid of that.
We got rid of that right then. Yeah, well, if we're gonna pile on McDonald's, let me pile on.
Yeah,
I'm at the McDonald's and I haven't been in a while, and yeah. I'm like, I remember my childhood fondly, and I'm like, hey, I want a sundae, and I'm like looking all over the menu for it, and I'm like, I want a sundae, and I want the strawberry sundae.
Okay.
And the guy kind of looks up at me and goes, we haven't had that spirit here since 1989 or something. I was like, wow, where am I at? And but I'm like, okay, so y'all don't serve that anymore. Give me the caramel or whatever. But I started noticing, I'm like, but you have strawberries.
Yeah.
I see them in other products that you sell.
Mm. What else do they have with strawberries in it? Oh, shakes.
They had strawberry shakes, and they had strawberries they put on salads and stuff, which will probably give you something bad. And they had other items that had strawberries. It's like, why?
And there's no way that's real strawberries, right? That's just some flavor thing. There's no way they're putting real strawberries in there. Yeah.
That whole shake is not real anyway.
Oh, yeah.
If
you
ever let one of those things melt, it's over.
No, it's done. It's like a brick of styrofoam liquid. It's the worst thing you've ever seen. When you eat it, though, they're pretty good. And I will say this for McDonald's. They continue to have the best Coke in the world because they have that deal with Coke where they do something different to the formula. And they got those big, fat, freaking straws. And there's no better Coke in this planet than getting one at McDonald's. It's so good.
Right.
So I'll take that.
It is fantastic. Yeah. And the real surprise is, it's just new Coke.
Yeah. That's at the end of the day, it's new Coke.
And it's new Coke.
You all are just drinking classic everywhere else you go, and you just think you don't like it. We got this story. This is one of my favorite stories of the week by far. Blackpool police, this is in the UK, are hunting a suspect who they say, and this is how they're telling people to be on the lookout for him, looks like Ross from Friends. Yeah, that's right. David Schwimmer and his character, yes. Ross. Now, you thinking to yourself, Scott, whatever. I don't know if I buy this. Look at this picture, chat room.
that is freaking phenomenal. I can't wait until they actually catch David Schwimmer.
Yeah.
And we get a good look at it. But I can't wait to see if they actually catch this guy and get a clearer picture because it's a little bit blurry.
Yeah.
But oh my gosh, it is spot on, yeah. Ross.
It looks like an older Ross.
It does.
A disheveled kind of like, I'm taking this beer because I'm addicted to beer kind of Ross. But he is, it's pretty damn. Pretty
if it turns out that he was just over there and it just happened, he just did it.
Yeah.
I would love that. That would be like,
yeah,
that would be the best thing ever.
It's pretty great. They go on to say here, they've got this picture of the suspect. They put it on Facebook. It shows that he's carrying like this crate of cans Facebook users quickly piled onto the comment section to point out the suspect looked like Schwimmer's character from Ross Geller in the U.S. sitcom. One wrote, shouldn't he be at work or is he on a break? another posted, I bet he was shouting pivot as he picked those beers up.
Pivot!
Oh, that's why the chat room was yelling pivot. I thought they were saying that because we pivoted from the plastic poo story to the to this. I don't know, whatever. It says others picked up on the show's theme song. No one told him life was gonna be this way. His job's a joke. He's broke. Love life. DOA. It's like he's always stuck in second gear. And when it hasn't been his day, his week, or month, or even his year, he will steal from you.
Oh, nice. Okay, so I gotta see if Ross is up yet, because surely he has time to be up by now. And let's check out his Twitter feed.
David Schwimmer's, let's see.
So let's see if he has responded to the allegations.
Mm. Yeah, he has a Twitter feed. He's on Twitter. Oh, yeah, he has said something. Officers, I swear, it wasn't me. As you can see, I was in New York to the hardworking Blackfoot Police. Good luck with the investigation. Oh my gosh, you made a video. Hold on. This is hilarious. So this is the...
And now I'm following David Schwimmer.
All right.
Which I should have already been doing.
People who are audio listeners only, you need to go to David Schwimmer at David Schwimmer on Twitter. He made a video of himself in a grocery store running down the aisle with a case full of beer.
That is fantastic.
It's amazing.
Oh, that well played. Well played, Ross.
You know what? I have all kinds of new respect for Schwimmer. I already kind of liked him, but I really like him now. Well done, dude. Well done.
Oh, love it.
Finally, if you would like to be careful at home, I have a new way for you to do that. If you own the Flushmate 2 501B pressure-assisted flushing system on your toilet, which is a thing you'd buy at, like, Costco or Home Depot or something, because you want...
Is that
better...
the one that makes your toilet go...
Yeah, the whole... Exactly. Yeah, like you get it, like you get that at, like, restaurants or public places, but at home, you always get these little weenie little lame-os that...
Yeah.
aren't going to pull grandma's problems through there very quick, you know? So this thing is like a kind of thing. They're exploding, and they've recalled 1.4 million of them because they're exploding.
Oh,
and some of you are listening right now going, wait a minute, I think I own one of those. Well, you want to go check, because here's the deal. The pressure can turn the flushing system into a low-level explosive device. Again, 1.4 million are being recalled to the U.S. and Canada. The exact problem, as stated by the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission recall notice, says this, quote, the system can burst at or near vessel wheeled seam, releasing stored pressure. It's a very scientific description. This pressure can lift the tank lid and shatter the tank, posing impact and laceration hazards to consumers and property damage. I don't like any of this. Go get us.
I like it. That's scary, man. Imagine just sitting there trying to not blow up the toilet, and then the toilet blows up.
They're going to do a free replacement installation for you, the company, as they even have a number here if you're interested in such thing. But
so they'll come to your house?
They'll come to your house. It says here Home Depot and Lowe's sold these, as also some small plumbing companies and retailers, 96 through December 2015. So that's how long this range is.
Wow.
Yeah. You could have bought one of these the year before my 21-year-old daughter was born. Think of that.
Well, I got to YouTube that to see if anyone caught that on film. Let's see.
Well, even if somebody's probably blown one up since, right?
Oh, I'm sure.
Got to be. Here, I'll show the chat what it looks like while you're doing
Flushmate 2.
Here's what it looks like. Look at that thing. Oh, that thing's a monster, dude. 1.4 million. Yeah, those
now
just sit down in your tank in there.
Oh, yeah. That looks high tech, baby.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. It's like something you'd pull out of the hood of a car or something. That's badass. Well, anyway, while Brian looks for that video, we're going to take
a
break. That's lacerated ass. When we come back, we are going to talk to Tom Merritt of the Daily Tech News Show. We have some Tom's Tech Time planned for you, as well as recommendals. I think Nicole's back. If not, I'll do one. But if she's not, and you can talk about anything you've been watching, but she should be here. I don't know for sure, though, but we'll see here in a second. In the meantime, as is tradition here on the show, I bring music, and I brought it without the help of Brian Ibbett, which means it's probably, crappy. But whatever, what are you going to do? I have decided this entire time while he's been gone to pull from songs that we've played before on the show that stuck with me and that I really enjoyed. Now, Brian and I both, that is to say, Dunaway and I, are both fans of the 80s heavy metal band, the German heavy metal band Scorpions, right? You like them?
Yes, of course, of course.
Okay. Well, they did a cover of Tainted Love, and it's awesome. And I'm going to play it here on the show because it's so good. And we played it on the show before, so yes, you're not, you know, you're having deja vu. I know that. YouTube people, will see you in a minute. Okay, this is when I hang up on the YouTube people, because you can't play this stuff on YouTube. Because YouTube doesn't know we have the rights to it, even though we fully do. Yeah, jackasses! Anyway,
that's what they do.
They won't hear this, because I just stopped the YouTube video. Anyway, here it is. This is Tainted Love by the Scorpions from their album Comeback. We'll be right back. Hey, you guys, we got to talk about Blue Chew. Let's talk about Blue Chew. Guys, remember the days when you were all ready to go? Remember that? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's like blue, the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so they know they work, or you know they work. They all know they work. We all know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they are chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill. So you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made right here in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships directly, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code TMS. Just pay $5 shipping. That, again, is BlueChew, BlueChew.com. That's it. That's all. And then use the promo code to try it out for free. It's the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we thank them for helping us out today.
It's fun to eat supper with your family, especially when there is good food on the table. They are good foods to eat.
Just fish is frozen.
The Morning Stream. Man, give me $50.
Hey, everybody, we're back. I love that song. It's a great cover.
I do too.
Yeah. Sorry, YouTube, we're back. You didn't get to hear it because YouTube bots don't understand how we actually have the rights to all that music. Because we do. We have rights to all of it. Brian pays fees.
We have rights. It's all ours.
Ebbett pays fees to every major, all those major label things so he can play all that stuff on his show Coverville. It's an investment he has to make for that other show. It extends to any other shows he helps make or produces or co-produces. This is one of those. And they always shut us down if I post these up with songs. Because YouTube right. doesn't ask. They don't bother to go, hey, we should check and see what the crap's going on. They don't do that. Jerks!
You would think it'd be kind of like, okay, so recently,
yeah,
there's programs to allow you to call your local police station and put yourself on a SWAT alert so yeah. that if someone SWATs you,
yeah.
the police will know not to come get you. You would think you.
What? Did I cut you off?
Don't strike me.
Sorry.
You jerk.
I cut you off. I didn't mean to. Sorry. Keep talking.
That's okay. I'm used to being cut off by Tom Merritt.
The way it worked, usually it doesn't do that. I think it's because you change connections during the thing, and so it decided to reset everybody. That was super weird. But don't worry about it. Okay, check this out.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program, Tom Merritt. Hi, Tom.
Thank you for having me, Brian and Scott. I do love when Brian Dunaway fills in because I don't have to think about it. It's still Brian and
Scott. Yeah, you don't have to screw it up. Exactly. Yep. It's the best thing ever. I do this all the time.
Also, Brian Dunaway is just a hell of a guy.
He's all right.
Thank you, Tom. You're one hell of a guy as well.
He gets the job done. That's how we like to say it. It is very nice of him to be here to cover, and it also brings back many old memories of the old Extra Life days, which were the days that I first met Tom Merritt, the technology genius who joins us now to talk about today's technological goings-on and happenings. It's Wednesday, folks. That means I'm going to be on the Daily Tech News Show, which I'm very excited about. But I don't know what's happening in the world yet until Tom tells me. So, Tom, what's going on?
Aliens have invaded. The idea of having that power to make you believe anything.
Sure.
Could possibly go to my head. Yeah. No, the thing I'm looking at right now is... Apple CEO Tim Cook gave a keynote speech at the International Conference of Data Protection and Privacy Commissioners in Brussels and laid into the tech industry over privacy, saying that your personal data is being weaponized with military efficiency.
Whoa.
Said, taken to the extreme, this process creates an enduring digital profile and lets companies know you better than you may know yourself. Mm. We shouldn't sugarcoat the consequences. Talking about AI, he said, at its core, this technology promises to learn from people individually to benefit us all, but advancing AI by collecting huge personal profiles is laziness, not efficiency. And he went on to bash companies who say they can't innovate if they're not allowed to freely collect all this data, saying Apple is able to innovate just fine without collecting hordes and hordes of data.
Mm.
Right. Now, those were not his
words. Here's my first impression of that is that this isn't usually what you get from Tim Cook typically, even when he's speaking outside of a you know, an Apple Focus conference or something. He's usually a pretty quiet dude, right? Like, this is a little...
He usually doesn't give keynotes outside of Apple stuff, you know, to be honest. So
maybe, I know it's easy to get cynical, everybody listening, but maybe he feels really strongly about this. Maybe this is actually a thing.
Apple has emphasized the fact that it doesn't collect data on you, that what data is collected is entirely under your control and for your purposes, not theirs. They just want to sell you devices and let you store your information in the cloud that you have full control over, which on the one hand is absolutely true, and they should emphasize the fact that they do that in today's marketplace. On the other hand, it's because they have that business model. They don't sell ads. Right. And because they don't sell ads, they have the luxury of saying, we don't have to collect any of this information on you. They certainly want to collect information on you in the Apple Store so that they can provide you better service on the products you buy. So, you know, I'm not calling full hypocrisy here, but it's not like they don't want to collect any information. They just happen to operate a business that doesn't rely on that. So on the one hand, I think it's great that Tim Cook is leading a fiery speech on this because it's important. On the other hand, throwing a little shade on the competitors because they're in the advertising business, like, well, it's easy for you to say. If you were in the advertising business, you'd have a harder time balancing personal information against your business model.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It does. He can do this pretty easily because it doesn't, like you said, it doesn't go counter to their business.
If it doesn't make him wrong. It just makes it,
No, but it's easy for, I mean, I guess the cynicism that comes out of me is like, well, if he was the CEO of Google, he wouldn't be taking the stand because.
Absolutely. Sundar Pichai is not taking this exact stand.
Right. Because their whole, their business model is different. Instead, they get their other stands, like, we believe in a much more open platform, multiple manufacturers of our phones. And
well, and in fact, today, Google added the ability to see your search data to the main menu on the search page, both in the apps and on the web. They've always had in your account the ability to see what searches have been collected and delete them. If you're like, I don't want Google to know this about me anymore, you can go in there and do that. But some people complained it was buried, so they've moved it to be more easily accessible. If you're using search, that's the kind of Google.
Do they really delete it?
Well, see, you don't believe anything, so I don't know.
That's true. Yeah, I don't believe nothing.
Well, does Apple really not collect data on you? Do they really?
Of course they. Of course they do.
Yeah.
I mean, there are ways to audit this sort of thing and see if if Google is keeping your data anyway in a secret room and never uses it, that's the same as it being deleted, and there are ways to tell if they're using it, and there are lots of people, thankfully, out there like Bruce Schneier and others who are on top of security and looking at these things to catch them if they do, if there's evidence.
This has been my biggest problem with data collection. Generally, I don't mind sharing my data with a company that I have a relationship with. I have not been impressed with any of them with their handling of how precious they keep my data and allowing it seems like data leaks happen all the time. And I'm like, I just shared this data with you and I was okay. But for some reason, I feel like you failed me on keeping my data safe. Try harder.
And actually, Tim Cook laid out a 4-point plan. He said he praised the GDPR in Europe and he said more countries should have this, including my own. And he said a good privacy regulation would minimize the amount of data people collect. So companies should only collect the information they absolutely have to and de-identify customer data if they don't need it to be identified. It should be transparent what they're collecting. You should have the right to see what they're collecting. And the fourth one he said is exactly what you're talking about, Brian, the right to security, saying you should trust that if you decide to give the data, that it will stay with them and nobody else.
Yeah. I'm looking at the page now. That they give you for this, and basically,
oh, you mean the Google page?
The Google page, and it's interesting. They have things like your search activity, and it says your recent activity, no search activity. That's actually not correct. I search all the time in Google, so I don't understand why that's.
Are you logged? Are you logged in?
I am absolutely logged in. Yes, I'm totally logged in. So I don't know what that's about. So I have to fiddle with this, but there is an option here that says delete your search activity. You can delete the last hour or you can delete all search activity, which, again, like Dunaway, you have to believe that they will, I guess.
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
I'm not buying it.
But there's some other options in here, like web and app activity I've turned off, voice and audio activity I've turned off, and then we have ad personalization on. I actually do want, if I'm going to get ads, I'd rather have them be targeted. That may sound weird, but I'd like them to not be all wrong about what I'm actually looking for in my world. They're going to give me ads anyway.
I don't like it being accurate because that really makes me feel paranoid.
Well, I am absolutely getting your paranoid vibe today about this. Right. But so outside of the fact that it says I have no recent search, which is total crap, I've been searching all morning. It seems all right.
And if you go into your history,
yeah,
right, you're gonna.
I know it's weird, right? It's weird.
It's weird. I'm sure there's an explanation for it, but I wonder what that explanation is.
Maybe it's just broken right now. Maybe too many people are using it. Like you said, this is new. Like, I don't know, but I'm gonna.
It says I just searched for Tim Cook.
It's true.
Just don't look for Tim Cook naked. Then you're in trouble. Nobody wants that in their life.
Delete.
So yeah, this is interesting. I'm always fascinated by the winds that blow the security and the privacy stuff around, and to see Tim Cook, which is your original point, take a stand like this in such an open, vocal way, is new for him. I mean, the company's always touted this, but to have him kind of go after everybody.
He's made policy type speeches before. It's not totally unheard of, but it's rare.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited about that as a point of discussion among many other things today on the Daily Tech News Show. Always look forward to it. 2:30 Mountain Time for those who may want to check it out live. You can also, of course, catch it on the podcast feed. Tom Merritt, anything else before we go?
I've been talking about it for weeks now, but it's getting closer than ever. In fact, let me just look at my email and make sure it didn't happen. No, it didn't. But I have submitted the audiobook for my novel Gallium to audible.com as read by Veronica Belmont. So,
wow.
With it, hopefully, you know, fingers crossed it passes the QA soon, and it'll show up in Audible, so keep a lookout for it. And as soon as it does, I'll post a link at tommerrittbooks.com.
Yeah, an important note here, because Dunaway's on with me today. We are both friends with Joel Duggan. We like his work. He did fantastic cover for this book.
He really did.
Yeah. Really pretty. Yeah.
Amazing.
And if you've got a Kindle, if you got Lulu, if you want to buy it on Lulu, if you want to get Barnes & Noble involved, you want to put it on your Apple iBooks, maybe you have a Nook, this thing's coming to everything. TomMerrittBooks.com for details, you guys. Tom Merritt, always a pleasure. We'll see you tonight or later today. It's not really tonight.
Yeah, see you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
See you, Toms.
Bye.
I can't hang up on Tom. I want to hang up on him, but I can't.
I can't hang up on him.
I just can't quit you, Tom.
I just can't do it.
What's that remind me of? Whose voice is that?
The guy off Family Guy is Chris's best friend, pedophile.
Is it the pedophile guy? No, not Chris. No. Not the old guy who says, "Listen, Chris,
listen here." That's what I was.
I'm thinking of the. Well, hey, everybody.
Oh yeah, that's the deaf.
Oh, the deaf guy on Family Guy.
So it's not far from it.
Oh, the more offensive one. Yeah. Got it. Okay, great.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. Let's get into
greased up deaf guy.
Let's get. Yeah, he's always covered in
that
butter.
Show.
Isn't he always covered in butter or that something show. Like that? Is that the deal? Butter.
I think that's the deal. Yeah. Which makes sense.
Sure. Why not? We're going to call Nicole Spag here, and we're going to play her intro that is way more volume for people now that they hear it now. Here you go. Oh, Nicole. My sweet Nicole. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program, one Nicole Spagnolo.
How's my audio today?
You sound fine today.
I'm not cutting out or doing anything
tiny,
weird.
Tiny little bit, but not way better than last week, or last time we had gone.
Good.
Definitely better.
I can always tell when my audio is off. You're not so quite happy.
Oh, really?
I can see you. So well, I'm like, I don't think my audio.
It's well. Never. Well, I'll say that may be a subconscious thing that I do because I am, you know, worried about production as we're going.
Sure.
But I never worry. I'd never be sad because you're here. I always like it when you're here. Makes me happy.
I only will accept happy Scott. Hi, Nicole.
Oh, look. Ryan. Hey, you know what this is? This is like, what's this like? This is like the final score.
Play the song.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to play the song, you guys. Totally. Here you go. Oh, this is the old school stuff. Oh, my gosh. This is crazy. Hold on a second.
Whatever.
I need to skip ahead there. That's weird, isn't it? Isn't that weird? It's a little weird.
Don't you still use that on Boop?
Yeah, we do.
We do.
I mean, partly because
that Nicole girl. We'll just, you know.
we started doing it because we felt like with Brian coming back on there, I just thought, oh, well, this is a real nice throwback. And then I realized how much I liked it in the first place. And then it was just like, we're keeping it. So whatever it is. And someone in the chat, I miss the old Boop song. No, you don't. You don't.
No, you don't. You think you do.
You think you do, but you don't. I promise you don't. Hey, Nicole's bag is here, everybody. We're doing recommendals. This is where we take take stuff from streaming services and we recommend them here on the air. They could be from anywhere, Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu, whatever. But that's the job, and we're here to do it. You normally, Ibbit begins with a clip or something, but since he's not here, Dunaway, I didn't really prepare you clip-wise, but do you have a recommendation of something you've been watching, seeing, checking out lately?
Absolutely. Does it have to be a TV series, or can it be a movie?
It can be anything.
It's usually movies.
Yeah. So it's more movie-licious than it is really.
Oh, a little bit.
That's where the segment came from.
Right. Yes. That's exactly.
True. Yeah.
So yes, I have. As everyone knows, we're just a mere week away from All Hallows Eve. Mm. So at this time of year, I like to watch scary movies, but not just horror movies, not just scary, crazy kind of movies. I like to go back and watch a little cheese.
Mm.
So I don't have a clip, but I can send you a clip if you'd like.
Oh, I can find one real quick once you say the name. What's the name?
Okay, so...
Well, you know what? I'll mute the chat. So, let me mute the chat, and then nobody can hear
the chat. Mute the chat.
Okay. Chat room's muted. Go. What is it?
All right, so I've been watching Return of the Living Dead 2.
Okay. All right, here we go. All right.
I'm sorry, Return of the Living Dead 1 is on Amazon Prime. That's the one I should talk about.
All right. Well, there. I screwed that up because I unmuted you when you said it the second time, but it's okay.
Nice.
Return of the Living Dead 2.
Chat room.
Yeah. Return of the Living Dead. Okay. Here, I'm going to give you a little trailer. All right. So this is Return of the Living Dead Part 2, a trailer. A taste of it, anyway. Not all of it, probably. Whoops.
Which one do you. One or two?
Two.
A deadly experiment.
One.
Oh. Is it one or two? Is it one?
One.
Oh.
One.
Okay. I thought you said two. Hold on.
Right. I was trying to say the whole thing, and then we got sidetracked. I watched two because I purchased it. It's not streaming anywhere. But then I went back after watching two and watched the first one again, which is streaming on Amazon Prime.
Oh,
black and white, right?
No. This is the Return of the Living Dead, not the Night of the Living Dead.
This is 1985's Return of the Living Dead. Okay, here we go. Now I'm playing it. Here's a real clear thing. Return of the Living Dead. Okay, it's taking forever. Okay, let's skip ahead. Oh, this music.
In the dark of the night,
85.
Something strange is going on.
Wow, this is great. Didn't we do this for Film Sack, or am I remembering it wrong? Didn't we Film Sack this?
What's that now?
Did we Film Sack this?
No, we Film Sacked just last year. We Film Sacked Night of the Living Dead. We've never done Return of the Living Dead because it's never been anywhere streaming that has hung around for long. This is on Amazon Prime right now, or you don't have to have any monies. You can go to voodoo.com, which I do, and you can sign up for a free account there, and you can watch this free with ads, and the ads are not painful on Voodoo. There's usually just a few, maybe two or three usually during the whole production. This movie is a lot of fun. It's kind of it's supposed to be scary, but mostly is just
cheesy,
funny, just funny.
Yeah,
this is funny, and it's also the place. Here's a little trivia for you: it's the place where we first had the idea that zombies desired brains.
Oh. I thought that was, you're right. The Night of the Living Dead didn't do that either, did it? It didn't
Not
just
at all.
Shout
Not
them
at
eating
all.
Like
no,
pig
this
parts.
Is a, this is a whole new aspect of the zombie genre at that time. If you are watching this, this one's a hard R, so there's some raunchy language and some nudie scenes, right? So if you get a chance and you want to watch something with your family, two has none of that. There's a few S-bombs and stuff, but nothing like... Nothing you're going to really have to worry about.
Chat room says, Jackalope says, I'm sure that you guys sacked this, but I don't think we did. I think we're thinking of another
I wish.
George
because
Romero
this
movie.
Was this is one that I do want to sack, and it just hasn't been available.
Yeah.
It's a really good movie, though.
All right. There you go.
So that you watch that every year?
This movie?
Yeah.
No, I don't watch it every year, but it was, I had, I had just purchased part two last week for 99 cents. And my oldest son, Drew, he likes to watch the crappy movies with me like we do Film Sack. And since we had a week off, I said, well, hey, let's watch this one. And we started watching it, and we had to stop and wait for everybody else to get there because it was so fantastic. Mm. I don't think I've ever seen two until this past week. I had seen the first one. And I got to say, I enjoyed the second one, watching it with my family, more than I watching the first one by myself.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Just well, sometimes it helps when you got more people around you. By the way, for those thinking we've already seen this, here's what we did for Film Sack. We've done Day of the Dead from 85.
Day of the Dead. Yep, yep.
And also Night of the Living Dead from 68. So we have, those are the only two George Romero, I think. Yeah.
Yeah,
I believe
so.
No Returns, which are great because they're kind of, their special effects are really good in both of them because they use a lot of practical effects and puppets and stuff. It's almost super disturbing seeing that kind of stuff. It makes you feel kind of creeped out.
So my cheesy Halloween movie I watch every year is also streaming. And I've mentioned this in the past. So people that have listened to this segment for a while already know this. Night of the Demons.
Oh, yeah. Night of the Demons.
Woo. It's on Prime right now. So really? You can watch it on Prime.
To finally see Night of the Demons.
I don't know why. I just love it so much. It's just so bad.
88.
The main kind of villain, her name's Angela.
Yeah.
And when the movie first came out, they were trying to make her into like another Jason or Freddy because it was around that time where Michael, but just Angela didn't hold.
Mm-hmm. None of these, I don't know any of these people, and that's good. That's what I want out of my cheese ball horror movie.
Oh, yeah.
And it's at the minimum of feature length in the U.S., which means they used every ounce of footage they had, 1 hour and 30 minutes, so they could be classified as a feature. Night of the Demons. Yep.
Really?
Yeah. Also, I didn't realize it went all the way up to like such a, there was like up to three. I knew there was a two, but I didn't know there was a three.
Well, here's what.
Made it two.
Here's your rated R sex and nudity in this movie. Two brief non-graphic sex scenes, but a few brief scenes of female nudity, including brief genital frontal, two topless scenes, and a bare butt.
How brief are we talking? Well, am I going to have to pause?
You're going to have to pause, Brian, like we used to do when we were teenagers.
So let's be clear, because somebody even said, I love Demon Knight. I'm not talking about Demon Knight. I'm talking Night of the Demons.
Night of the Demons. Yeah. Which may seem like the same night, but it's a different
scene
night.
Where a girl puts a lipstick in her boob.
Her babe.
Like the most memorable scene of the freaking movie.
Wait. Did she do it like they did in Breakfast Club, where it's like,
No. Just right. Way worse. Just really way worse.
Okay. I'm into it.
But while we are talking about Demon Knight, when we're not talking about Demon Knight, that is amazing. Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knight, I think 95 or so, and it featured some Filter songs.
Oh, really?
Hey, man, nice shot. Oh,
I like Filter songs and things. The Filters videos, they always had a little old Asian man, naked Asian man in the corner covered in ash. That was always their thing. I always remember that. Anyway, it does say also in Violence and Gore, there's a scene in this movie that you like, Nicole, Night of the Demons. It says, a man swallows a razor blade and it is seen cutting his throat from the inside.
Yeah, no! The razor blade in the apples.
That sounds bad. That sounds
you
real
totally
bad.
Should sack that movie. I can't believe you haven't.
All right. I'm in.
We're down.
Let's sack it. Watch it.
Was that Mark that just walked by?
Yeah, that was Mark.
Oh, he looked like a teenage girl going to yoga class. I don't know why.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what it means either.
Please tell him that's what he looks like. Please.
You can tell him later. You don't have to tell him now. All right. Hey, let's do my clip. So this is a clip here. This is for a thing that I've been watching, and I just finished, actually. So I have a lot to say about it. We'll see if you guys can figure it out. Here you go.
You know, some people, they feel really bad and sad, and everything happened to me. And sometimes it feels like you want to cry, but you can't. Kind of shocked sometimes. I didn't think all of these people would care.
Okay. It's a short clip.
I've seen this. What is this?
Well, you
it's
may
a documentary.
It is. Maybe you saw season one of this show that is on Netflix. Does that help? No.
Maybe. Oh, the murder guy. Murder, making the murder.
Murder guy.
Murder guy. On Netflix.
I wish it was called Murder Guy now. It is called Making a Murderer. This is season two. Wow. I always think it's How to Make a Murderer. I'm wrong about that. That's not the title at all.
Right. That sounds like a cooking show. That's not right.
Yeah, it's not right. It is the follow-up season to the first season, which was this huge juggernaut event where everybody and their dog were talking about it, trying to determine whether they thought the people in this movie were guilty or were not guilty. If you haven't seen it, then it's going to be kind of hard to explain why there's even a second season. But the second season is all about a post-conviction attempt to get the get him out of prison because they think there's tons of evidence showing that A, he wasn't guilty, and B, the police did all sorts of dirty tricks and planted evidence and some other stuff. And they even address a whole bunch of criticisms that the police side have about the show, that they didn't show this one piece of evidence or they didn't talk about this part of the court thing. So they kind of address some of those things. And then they go into this long multi-episode connective tissue thing where this very famous lawyer named Kathleen something, I forgot her last name.
Oh, yeah.
But she's famous for overturned convictions. Like she'll find a thing that'll just be like, yeah, this, I don't think this person did it. And the way she does it is she will either prove that you did it or find out you didn't and then get your thing overturned. So when you call her, you don't call her because you want her to come help you get out. You call her because what she's going to do is investigate it down to the tiniest possible minute investigation to determine whether you did it or not. And if you didn't, she'll help you get out of prison. That's kind of how it works. She had a guy that she was a lawyer for who was a serial killer that she was initially involved with trying to get him, thinking he was wrongly convicted, did her homework real hard and found out, nope, he fully did it, and ended up getting him to confess to like 8 other murders. Like she's like this whiz-bang lawyer. So I found her really fascinating and interesting. And there was lots of really good buildup around her and what she was doing to work on this case and everything. My only complaint is I go 10, 11 episodes into this thing or whatever, and it just ends. And I know that it's a documentary, and if things don't turn around for you in your documentary, well, them's the breaks, right? You can't make it up.
Right.
A good documentary won't make it up. And so part of me thinks this is a good documentary because it didn't make it up at the end. Like, they're still in prison. She's still working on it. None of the deals came through they had hoped for, even though they got real close a couple of times. And these were nationally televised things. It was fascinating. And the whole series is. So I'm not here to say one way. I honestly, I'm still kind of torn as to who I think did it or didn't do it. But there's some really interesting stuff laid out in this season. So I guess I'll say this. If you like season one, you will really like season two. If you thought there was a better ending to one, which was a sad ending if you believe they were innocent because the ending was all about them being convicted, you may not like this as much because at the end of this, they're like, well, we're still looking. So it probably means there'll be a season three or something. I don't know. But it's great documentary filmmaking, I think. I think it's really well done, and it had me kind of riveted the whole time. So you can get that now. It's brand new. It's on Netflix. And I just kind of bore through those episodes, just ripped through them.
Can I just say how impressed I am with Netflix and their production of shows?
Yeah, their homebrew stuff is great.
I was just going through shows that I really haven't heard anything about, like in the TV category. And there's just, I mean, Orange is the New Black got a lot of attention, but there's a lot of shows in there that just they're not getting any attention at all, but they're good quality shows. And I'm there's just so much of it that I'm just overwhelmed. Yeah, like,
they make tons of it. Like Ozark's amazing. If you're a kid, that Hilda show is the best thing ever. That dirty Big Mouth show is good if you like dirty things. Like they know how to make, they're doing great with that. They're spending the money and they're doing great. And I like their documentary stuff, especially. In fact, when I go in there and I'm looking for a documentary, if I see Netflix at the top of the thing where that you know that it's a production from them, I have
more. Oh, that means quality.
Yeah, it means I have more confidence in it, honestly, which is a weird thing to feel because so far they just haven't let me down. If it's something else, I have to go, all right, was this some History Channel thing where it's goofy and has dumb music the whole time and like is really just going, did aliens actually kill Lincoln? It's like, I don't want that. I want like good, hard-hitting, whatever. So, yeah.
Robo, Jeff in the chat said Haunting of House Hill is
good. I keep hearing
I've heard
that.
So many great things. I've heard people say it's better than American Horror Story.
Yeah. I'm gonna watch that.
I need to sit down and just watch it. But it looks a little scary.
Hey, Brian, that'll help me sleep at night if I start watching that right before bed, right?
Yeah, it will. Cuddle up the nice little episode of House.
Netflix could totally blow this if they wanted to. Like, they could go quality upside down if they screw up at some point. I'm not saying they never will. I'm just saying right now they have my trust. That's all.
Yeah.
Totally.
Nicole, let's talk about yours. What'd you bring?
All right. So before I give you my recommendal that you can watch online streaming, I'm going to tell you that I went to the movies in this rare occurrence.
Whoa.
Traitor.
I'm not even going to do the trailer. I just want to tell you, if you want to go to the theaters right now and watch a really good movie, action, fun, twists, turns, great acting, great cinematography, Bad Times at the El Royale.
Oh, yeah. Nick saw this with his girlfriend and raved about it.
And I don't want to tell you anything about it because the best way to experience this movie is really with no context. Just go see it. And because I did that to Mark. Mark thought it was taking him to a rom-com. It was our anniversary. It was our anniversary. And
that's good. I'm going to put my yoga pants on.
So I love the idea that Mark would have different pants to take. He's got a different pair of pants depending on the film genre he's going to go see. Anyway.
But he didn't know what we were saying. I'm like, just trust me. Just let's go. I said, I watched the trailer. It looks amazing. It has Chris Hemsworth, John Hamm. Is it Bo Bridges or Jeff Bridges?
Jeff Bridges.
The lesser of the two bridges.
No, the greater of the two bridges is in it.
Bo Bridges is the lesser.
Yeah,
of the two
bridges. I like Bo Bridges for his own thing, but yes, you're right. I would say he is the lesser of the bridges. Yes. I think that's fair. It's a little mean, but whatever.
I loved it. Also the chick from Eyes Wide. No, not Eyes Wide Shut. What's the stupid Twilight?
Oh, Kristen Stewart.
Erotica.
Kristen's. No. Don Johnson's daughter.
But she did 50 Shades of Grey.
Dakota Johnson.
Okay.
Dakota Johnson.
Oh, wow.
Dakota Johnson.
And 50 Shades of Grey was Twilight erotica.
Yeah, it totally was. That's true. That's how that book started, right? And then they changed it because they were getting in trouble. But Don Johnson's daughter Dakota deserves roles that aren't that stupid thing. She needs to get.
I was gonna say I loved her in this.
Yeah, she's great.
It was weird because I tried to scrub the 50 Shades of Grey thing out of my mind, I really liked her in this, and I really liked the movie, and I hope more people go see it because Mark was like, I heard nothing about this movie. Yeah. So there you go.
The trailer had me stoked. I was real jazzed about seeing that, and I still will. So
I loved it.
Good.
So here's my official recommendal. This is on HBO.
Okay.
And I don't know how I missed it, but here you go.
Okay.
I hope you hear it. Let me know if you don't.
Don't you ever have doubts?
What do you mean by doubts?
Well, I had coffee.
You what?
It was delicious, Joseph.
Stop. You need to pray for forgiveness right now.
I don't want to pray for forgiveness.
Well, what do you want to pray for?
Sign.
All right.
Oh, it's cutting out. It's cutting out for some reason.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's doing that thing it did last week where it slowly started cutting out.
From now on, I'm just going to send you the clip.
Sending the clip.
All right.
And we'll just be done with that.
I'm going to look right now. Let's see what we got here. This is HBO. Oh, here it is.
HBO. So that's got to be, I'm going to guess it's not Game of Thrones.
No, it's not Game of Thrones.
Right. I didn't.
Jump
into
the 30 seconds.
All right, here we go.
Hey, you're scaring me.
This isn't a game.
This is the moment you enter the unknown.
Okay, I saw this.
You did.
I did. I want to know what you think of it because I came away super torn. I loved parts of it and not other parts.
I have no idea. The only reason why I knew this existed, this is a anthology series by the Duplass brothers, who I love. I've loved some of the their movies, called Room 104. Mm-hmm. And the only reason why I know about this show is because the second season is going to be starting up. So they're doing commercials. And I'm like, where was the first season? Mm-hmm. I thought for a minute that I was like, are they just being silly and just saying they're starting with the second season? Mm-hmm. But no, there was a whole season of show I missed.
Yeah.
And I love, I was saying this on Twitter. I don't know what it is about Motel Hotel TV shows or movies, but I love them. Mm-hmm. So I know you don't like Four Rooms. I loved Four Rooms by Tarantino. Identity.
Four love Rooms by Tarantino did one Identity. Of those. Yeah. Tarantino did like the last one in that Four Rooms. That's the thing with Four Rooms. Four Rooms is also an anthology, but it's a movie anthology, and you have like what, four or five directors. I think Tarantino's section was the best.
Yeah.
And I think everyone else kind of was okay.
I don't know. I love those anthology stories, and you know, the idea that you have these rooms that people come in and out, and they have their own stories, and it's sometimes weird and sometimes scary, and it's sometimes,
you know what you're describing, scary. Right?
Mm, what?
Right. Life? No,
the Love Boat.
No, you're not describing the Love Boat. I was afraid you were going to say this. Yeah, I mean, he makes a good point. That's basically horror movie Love Boat in a way. But I'm with you. There is something about the subgenre of hotel room horror, but not always horror, sometimes mystery, sometimes whatever. But there's something about that as a subsection of films that is always compelling to me. So when I hear somebody like, what's that documentary about The Shining? The Shining itself is kind of one of these, but also Room 227, is it?
Right.
227.
Yeah, what is it?
Two something. Anyway, that reminds me of what you're talking about. There's another one, a John Cusack movie with him and Samuel L. Jackson. I think it's a Stephen King movie that's also called like Room something something. That's... Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I immediately get interested in that. And then there's that show. Do you remember that show with what's his name from Parenthood? Who had a key to a hotel way out in the middle of the desert.
Yes, it was a sci-fi show.
It was so good.
It was so good. Yeah. And it just didn't go anywhere after that. I loved that show. And I was trying to remember the name of that, but it was a sci-fi motel show.
What was that called?
Sci-fi motel show. It's my favorite thing to do when somebody gives
Lost
me some
room.
Weird.
Thank
Lost
you.
Room. There you go. That was an awesome show. Room. I was into that. Yeah.
Well, and this Bad Times at El Real Hotel. It's actually a motel. Mm-hmm. And there's like, and it takes place in the 60s, and there's like weird CIA stuff. And like, it's just, I don't know what it is. I just love it so much.
There's something there. I agree. Some of my favorite stuff in The Stand, my favorite Stephen King standalone novel. I love The Dark Tower the most as far as the series goes. But even that has this really great extended scenes that have to do with run down crappy hotels in the middle of the desert. Like, there's something there. I agree. I don't know what it is, but there's something to get you every time. All right. Well, this is Room 104 for those who've said we haven't said the name of it yet. Room 104.
Room 104. I've watched the first three so far. Orlando Jones is in the third one. That one was weird.
Yeah, really weird.
Really weird. And in fact, I had to go on Reddit to try to understand like the hit. But you know what? I love that stuff. I know some people hate that, where you're like, well, they didn't like give you a full fleshed out thought or story. I'm like,
right.
Yeah. I like it. I like when there's alternative ways to think about something. That episode especially.
What did you think of the one where the pizza guy, the pizza kid.
Oh, the pizza guy. Yeah, the pizza. Guy,
he's the actor from The Office and a bunch of like raunchy comedies. I can't think of his name.
Dawson Creek. Guy.
Oh, right. And whatever his name is. Brian, you know him. Yeah. You're a 90s kid. Dawson's Creek. Who's his name?
Oh, literally Dawson's Creek. The guy who played the main role of Dawson. Is that what you're asking? Yeah. Or are you asking like a sub?
No, that's him.
Yeah, That would be Vanderbeek, right?
Vanderbeek. Nelson Vanderbeek. No, it's not Nelson.
James Vanderbeek.
Yeah,
hey, Dawson. Come here, Dawson.
That thing made me so uncomfortable, that episode.
It was weird. Yeah. I was like, what's going on? Yeah,
it was something else. It's worth watching, I think. It's very weird. The Duplass brothers are fascinating. They have made some of my favorite documentaries recently, or produced them anyway. That one with the weird cult out in Nevada. I forgot the name of it already, but the one I just loved, it was them producing. Like they do some amazing stuff. And also Mark Duplass was the psycho dude in that recent recent season of Goliath I recommended on Recommendals. So he actually acts as well. He'll show up in movies and TV and stuff.
Well, we've recommended a lot of their movies before that. Safety Not Guaranteed. There was another one. Oh, the one I love. That was weird. That was so weird. It was about the couple that goes into like this little sanctuary and they're having trouble with their marriage. And then they actually, I don't know, they meet like their opposite.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like doppelgangers?
Yeah, like doppelgangers. It was weird. It was so loved it. But yeah.
If you want to be really freaked out, look at some I've been catching up on Lore. Season 2 is out.
I tried to watch that. I couldn't get into it.
The first season was better in my opinion because it had the voice narration over top of it. And you think, well, that's stupid. You don't need voice narration to start and get you engaged, but it really did. It worked a lot better. I felt like I was a little bit cheated this time around.
But didn't you feel like I mean, that was based on a podcast, right? Or something like that?
Correct. Yes, yeah. Correct.
Did you feel like that was weird at all, or did that work?
No, that worked. The first season was fantastic. I loved how it was laid out and the pacing, and it felt so good, and it was such a surprise. And it seemed like every week there was always some actor you're like, what? How did they secure that actor for that role? And the second season feels like everybody involved with the first season, like, totally bailed. And don't get me wrong, really? The quality is really good in the second season. It's just a totally different flavor.
Hmm.
Different flavor entirely.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, check it out. That's on HBO Go and now, or wherever you get your HBO fix. And season 2 coming when? Is it soon?
I'm trying to catch up because I'm pretty sure I don't know what the hell I was watching.
But I don't even know what I was looking at now. Is this TV?
Until it comes out and watch it streaming anyway.
It's all good.
The only thing I ever really watch when it comes out is Game of Thrones.
Oh yeah, Game of the Thrones.
You can't wait on the Thrones because man, woo, people will be spoiling that thing real quick.
You talk about it like if you're not watching Game of Thrones as it happens, you feel weird, way behind, and I hate that feeling. Yeah. So it's like the only TV like that I even feel about it anymore. Yeah. Anyway, Nicole Spag on Twitter, and she will repeat these in a way that is readable.
I'll put in our bonuses too.
Well, yeah, put in our bonuses. Stick those bonuses right up in it. Nicole, have a fantastic week. We'll see you next time. All right, Brian.
Hi, Nicole.
We've come to the end of the show, except for an email I would like to read. A reminder, by the way, everyone watching the show live, go vote for today's show titles. There's quite the selection so far. Frogpants.showbot.tv. Do that while I read this email that came to us at themorningstream@gmail.com from Vince. Or he may have used the website. I'm not sure. Either one works. He says, yo, dude. First, I want to say that the episode on Monday with Kim was absolutely fantastic. You guys are such an amazing couple. Totally real. I can't speak today. And it's so cool to hear you guys talking on air and sounding exactly like you do in person when we're all at BlizzCon. Second, your nephew's band is freaking rad. I love their music and we'll be buying the album as soon as it's ready. One problem is they're really hard to find online. There's a band called Brother Already that's been going for 20 years or 20 some odd years, and a book series called Brother Band Chronicles, both of which dominate the web search results. Just a suggestion, when you play them on the air, drop their website, brotherofficial.net. So I'll do that now. Brotherofficial.net. Yeah, the only complaint I have about them and their band is that Chuck and those guys didn't really think about how common their name would be, and it's been hard to get it out there.
Oh, brother, we've really made a mistake.
Well, you know, they're just making music. They're not really focused on search engine optimization.
Right.
Like you and I would be. But then we would make bad music. We'd have great searches, terrible music.
Yeah, I mean, it would be the first result. You wouldn't want to listen to it,
no.
But it'd be the first.
Yeah, it'd be the first. Number one, baby. Anyway, he says, that's all. See you in Anaheim. Cheers, Vince. Well, Vince, and we always like to hear from Vince. I'm going to call him Vinny, though, when I see him. I'm going to say, hey, Vinny, what's up?
Vinny.
But Vincent Minucci always got something to say, and thanks so much for that. Kim really appreciates the nice compliment. Everybody was very complimentary. Like, no, like, who's going to be mean about it? That's the thing I told her. I says, hey, honey, pretty much universal praise for your guest spot on Monday. And then I thought, well, of course, like, who's going to come forward and go, your wife sucked. Don't ever have her on again. This is the worst. Like, no one's going to say that.
Because it would be so untrue.
Well, maybe it's
fake news.
That would be fake news for sure. Speaking of fake news, no, this is real news. We're out of here. Patreon.com/TMS is how you support this show. If you want to find us on the web, frogpants.com/TMS has links to everything we have, do, and are. So check that out. One thing we don't ever say because, you know, he's not on here very long, Brian Dunaway is at the Brian Dunaway on Twitter. So you can follow him then. You can also listen to our other show we do on Mondays, which is the Boop Show. It's a fantastic video game focused show that we do together. You can check that out. And if you're lucky, you can dig through the world's archives and find old Extra Life Radio episodes someplace out there that exist from like 05. Your hair wasn't as cool then. I'm just going to put it out there.
No, it was. I had much less hair and much more fat.
Yeah, you were.
My fat to hair ratio was much different than it is today.
You're a skinny, skinny man now. I'm trying to get back there. I just got a double X size shirt from a guy in the mail. And you know how sometimes clothes run.
A guy in your mail?
Well, a guy just sent it. It's a nice thing. Anyway, sometimes you get a double X and it's perfect because I'm a tall guy. I have to have double X for height. And then there are times where they just have been made a little small. And I put that thing on and went, oh, well, I'm bulging in places I don't want to. That's my motivator. I'm going to lose this freaking weight once and for all and not be tall and, you know, 40 pounds overweight.
You want to visit the tall section, not the big and tall.
Not the big and tall. Yeah, exactly right. Well said. And I don't want to buy any 3Xs of anything, okay? I'm
not doing 3X it. 3X is a scare. The only time I want a 3X is when it's my hockey jersey.
Right. Oh, speaking of BlizzCon, if any of you are going, I have these cool stickers. I won't have a ton of them, but enough to give out to a lot of people. So if you see me, you are more than required even to come up to me and say, hey, Scott, I love your stuff. Give me a sticker. You don't have to say anything. You just say, hey, I want a sticker. I'll give it to you. All right? They're
exclusive.
That's
still saying something. I want you to stick your hand out at Scott and just put it. Just keep inching it closer to his face until stickers appear.
Yeah. And I have, there are a couple things I still can't say about BlizzCon that are going to be very exciting. So let's just say you're going to want to make sure to get one of these stickers. Okay.
Gotta be there.
Is that it?
Scott,
that's it. Yeah.
That's it. Scott, can I just say?
Yeah.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, dude, it's always fun.
It's so much fun.
It's such a pleasure, dude. It's like having, it's like having an old friend around. Friends. I like it.
Yeah.
I like exactly it a lot. It is. It's very nice of you to do that. And we hope Ibbot as well. I didn't hear from him today. He was going to maybe call in. But I don't think I heard. Let me see. He was going to call and just say hi and tell us what he was doing.
Oh, we should have done a Babel Royale in reverse. That would have been fun.
Yeah, that could have been. Oh, that would have been great, actually. But he may do that tomorrow. He wanted to try to sneak in something before his trip was over. So we'll see how it goes. All right. Before we get out of here, time to play one final song. Bye, YouTube. We love you. Okay. They're gone. This is going to be a song of my choosing once again. And no, it's not another Africa cover, everybody. Calm yourselves down. But this is another cover I like playing all the time. And it was played on the show previously. I played it in the going away credits before. But I always like it. And I'm going to play it. This is a cover of a Pink Floyd song. You know the song Time. Yeah?
Oh.
Yeah? Are you familiar? Yeah. Are you familiar?
I like that. Yeah, I'm singing it in my head right now.
Take me away around this time. Anyway. It's a great song by one of my favorite bands of all time, which is Pink Floyd. And Godsmack makes a cover of this in their Live and Inspired album. Yeah. So you get a little bit of new metal taking on some old rock or whatever you'd call Pink Floyd's music. But anyway, they have this version of it that I can't get enough of. I play it on the show. We played it on the show proper before. I've played it before just because I like it. I'm going to play it now again officially for those listening at home and for those listening live. So here it is. It's Time by Godsmack, at least their cover of it. And it's clean, so don't worry. Godsmack usually not so clean, but they're pretty cool. Brian Dunaway, thanks once again for being here, man.
Thank you, Scott.
Oh, he just saluted me. That made me feel funny.
I didn't even salute you. Just gave you one finger. And it's the index finger instead of the other one.
Oh, it wasn't the middle one? Shoot. All right. No. Double bird.
All right.
Anyway, here it is. It's Time from Godsmack. And we'll see you tomorrow with Kim and Wendy and all that. See you then.
Taking away. The moments that make up a dull day. Fritter and waste the hours in our pain way. Kicking around on a piece of ground in your hometown. Waiting for someone or something to show.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like steam.